So, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, this marks the third day of our Govardhan retreat. This retreat actually has a very important and very necessary purpose in our devotional life. What we sincerely wish to experience in this retreat is a change of heart. We wish to not think so much about our own thoughts and lives, but we want to redirect our thinking to the original, supreme, attractive personality of Godhead. We have assembled at the in a sacred valley, just very close to Giriraj, so that we can actually say we are sitting on the lap of Giriraj. And we beg his kind assistance to bring us closer to Lord Krishna, because he is competent to bestow this blessing. He is Haridasa Varyo, the best of Lord Krishna's servants. He is a pure devotee whose heart is overflowing with compassion and the desire to help those who take shelter at his lotus feet. I am very grateful that all of you are very serious Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are very concentrated on this purpose of obtaining the mercy, and I feel our group is slowly growing together, and Giriraj is certainly very pleased. It is said in many of these ashtakas that when you, for instance, assemble at the bank of the Yamuna and talk about Krishna and sing about Krishna, then Yamuna Devi becomes so pleased that finally my devotees are sitting next to me and talking about Krishna, that she is very easily ready to bestow all her mercies to get Krishna Prema. There are altogether five personalities who can give you Krishna Prema in Braj. Their storehouses are never closed, but they are always open. The first is the dust of Vrindavan. The second is Yamuna Devi. The third is Purnamasi, the great arranger in Vrindavan, who moves everyone around. The fourth is Gopeshwara Mahadev, the gatekeeper to Vrindavan, whose permission you require to enter into the moods of Vrindavan. The fifth of the personalities by whose blessing you can get prema in Vrindavan is Giriraj Govardhan, at whose sacred site we are sitting. This morning we will start with one quality of Lord Krishna, which is very important for a devotee who feels that he or she has made mistakes in her and his life. Who of you thinks that you are faultless, you have never committed offenses? No one. I am surprised. I think we all know that unfortunately, due to our influence, being influenced by Rajagun and Tamagun, the aparada which removes us from Radharani's service is very great. There's a great chance that this comes. So Krishna's quality is Kshama Shila. That's the 25th quality. It means forgiving. Srila Rupa Goswami defines Krishna's forgiving potency by saying, I'm actually taking this from Prabhupada's expression, a person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving, correct. The example which Rupa Goswami gives to illustrate how forgiving Krishna is Shishupala, the king of the Chedi kingdom. When Shishupala came out of this mother's womb, he was just very small in the age where children can't speak properly. He already began to offend Krishna. Now, there is a long history of Shishupala's offenses which cannot be traced back only in this one lifetime. You have to go into another life, and we will do this soon. We will go in the past life regression of Shishupala. It will become very intense for a moment as we do this reincarnation trick. Transgression, or what is it? Trans something. Shishupala, instead of saying first Mama and Papa, by the way, in Sanskrit these are also not such nice words. Mama means mine and Papa means sin. This is our first words which we usually learn to speak. We mean them referring to our parents, Mama and Papa. Instead of saying Mama and Papa, he began to formulate the word Krishna, which is difficult for a little baby, is bad, and so on. He really offended Lord Krishna. As much as possible, whenever there was a chance. So, when he finally came to the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, where Krishna had washed every guest's feet, Krishna was sitting at the entrance and taking the role of the foot washer of everyone. What did Shishupala the rascal do? After it was decided that Krishna is the most glorious person to be worshipped first in this great sacrificial offering, he began to curse Krishna. Oh Krishna, you are this. I will not repeat these words because Giriraj will become very displeased with us to hear Shishupala, what he exactly said. He said things where he seriously attacked Krishna's character, integrity, his courage. He did something where he called Krishna a person who lacks courage, and so on and so forth. He really attacked mean in his words. But Keshava did not even respond to Shishupal. And Rupa Goswami says, a lion roars in response to the sound of thunder, but not to the cry of a jackal. Keshava just sat there, smiling very transcendentally, and Shishupala was going, all the soldiers wanted to rush at Shishupala, smash his sinful skull 5 meters into the ground. But Krishna held them all back and said, no, it's all right. So forgiving is Krishna. Now, let us now go into past life. What do we call this in English? Regression. Thank you, not transgression. That is what Shishupala did. He transgressed everything. Let us go into the past life of Shishupala. The son of Indra, Jayanta, once took the form of a crow when Ram and Mother Sita were in the forest. And while they were conversing confidentially, this mystical crow began to attack Mother Sita and scratch at most properly the most delicate part of the body, at the breasts of Mother Sita. Later, then Lord Rama, you know, couldn't believe it. He took his arrow and pointed it at the crow and said, "Hey, crow, this is too much," and wanted to kill the crow. But the crow immediately understood his bad intention, this bad, what he did bad, and fell down to Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet and began to pray for forgiveness. And Lord Ramachandra, being the Supreme Lord who is forgiving Shamashila, forgave him. He only said, "Listen, crow, I have released my arrow. It must go somewhere. Where should it go?" The crow said, "In my eyes, because I had the wrong vision of Mother Sita. Let these eyes go." And the arrow took away the eyesight. Later, this crow, who was so offensive as to attack Mother Sita in such a confidential situation, was reborn as Shishupala, one of the sworn enemies of Krishna. And in this incarnation, or in this birth, Lord Krishna showed the high extent of his forgiving power by not only forgiving Shishupala, but listen to this very attentively, by granting the crow, or by granting Shishupala, the liberation called Sayuja Mukti. What is Sayuja Mukti? Merging with Krishna. Yamunacharya writes about this. You know, he thinks Krishna is even more compassionate than Ram, because Ram didn't liberate the crow. The crow, which was Jayanta, had to come back as Shishupala. So Yamunacharya's hairs are standing in ecstasy, like this, like a transcendental porcupine. And he writes, "O Lord, as Rama you showed pity to the crow because he submitted, and then in another lifetime, O Krishna, you gave final liberation in form of Sayuja Mukti to this offender who was at this time Shishupala. Tell me, just what kind of offenses are you not willing to tolerate from him?" And Srila Prabhupada comments this. Sri Yamunacharya says in his prayer that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra, because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. From this we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupal, who are constant utterly inimical to Krishna can also get this liberation. Now I have a question for you. How do you explain this forgiving nature of Krishna? Isn't it beyond the conception? Can you give us some reason why Krishna is so forgiving? Imagine someone attacking Mother Sita with claws, you know, and we don't want to tell this so graphically, but this Jayanta who came at this crow was really too much. So offensive. And then coming later, Shishupal and Krishna says, come into my embrace, and gives him oneness with him. How do you explain this? You look bewildered.
She's not envious.
Krishna is not envious. Is this a good explanation? What is your thought? You are speechless. Because you are overwhelmed with wonder. Saranandi.
Also very much love and completely beyond all these dealings and actions.
Krishna is beyond all these dealings and actions which happen on this platform and has so much love. There are two reasons which I could find, but maybe you can also think more about this. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratha Pita. I am the seed-giving father of all. Do we have some fathers amongst us? Hanuman, you are a father as well? I know Bhuri Jam Prabhu is a father of two children. You are also a father? A father has to be forgiving to his children, isn't it? Because he feels like this. They are basically all right. Mother and father's nature are like this. They feel this forgiving nature. I know that when Babyface Nelson, one of the most notorious criminals of America, was executed on the electrical chair, he had one last desire, and he desired to see his auntie, who was acting like his mother. And he said to his auntie, come close, auntie. He was bound because Babyface Nelson was really too much as a criminal. So he was coming. He said, come close, auntie. I want to say something in your ear which only you can hear. The auntie came close. And then Babyface Nelson jumped up like a crocodile and bit off her ear. Why have you been so lenient with me? Now I'm killed. You know. But the auntie was later asked, what do you think about Babyface Nelson? And she said in a motherly bath, well, you know, he was a little disturbed. That happens in such situations. He's a good boy. He was misunderstood. Motherly bhav is always forgiving. Krishnananda cannot believe his ears, but this is because you are a brahmachari. Mother and father will always forgive their child. And it's necessary for the child to grow up because the child does so much glupost. Glupost means nonsense. That if there would not be anyone who forgives us, what will come out of us, isn't it? I can even imagine our little Satya, who looks so sweet sometimes, she does impossible things, isn't it? Of course, yes, and mother has to forgive, no problem. So Krishna is the seed-giving father, and he feels like this towards all of us. Another reason is that there are three attributes to Lord Krishna. Krishna is confident, he's secure, and he's full of well-being. See, only a person who is a little disturbed cannot forgive the minor and bigger offenses of others. Someone who is full of well-being and secure and confident, he has no problem when someone is forgiving him. Stay. Don't go so fast. This was an address to the cow which just passed at this point. Krishna also forgave Brahma, who kidnapped his cowherd boyfriends. And Krishna forgave Indra, who tried to destroy the cows, Krishna's family, and Braj. In fact, and here you can see Krishna's confident and secure and nature, Krishna was more pleased with Indra than with Brahma. Although Indra really attacked with deadly intent, I mean, he created the greatest flood catastrophe which the history of this unfortunate planet has ever known. I mean, it was a catastrophe which really would have killed everyone if Krishna would not have protected his devotees. Krishna forgave Indra more than Brahma, who kidnapped the cowherd boys. Do you know the reason? Krishnananda.
Indra's offense caused all the Brijavasis to come together.
Under the hill, And Brahma? Brahma separated. So Krishnananda very pointedly turns our attention to the fact that when Indra attacked, all the Brijavasis came underneath the hill and stayed together for 7 long days, which is a long time. Usually, Krishna always leaves the Brijavasis early in the morning and comes when the sun sets back. So they were for 7 days enjoying the constant festival of seeing Lord Krishna's beautiful features. And it was a festival. It is described that over the Giriraj there were flashes and clouds and rain storms, but underneath Giriraj there was another storm. Would you like to hear about the storm which was underneath the hill? It was a beauty storm from Krishna's transcendental form. Waves of loveliness emanated. His dhoti looked yellow like a flash, and his beautiful body looked like a rain-filled cloud. So there was another storm under the hill, which was a beauty storm. I think we are the only people who know of a beauty storm. So if Krishna would not have been confident, secure, and full of well-being, he would most probably think that the offense of Brahma was less. He just did something mystical and he wanted to return the boys anyways. But he thought Indra was better because he brought all the devotees together. It's a different perspective. Krishna is also ready to forgive his devotees when they make mistakes, even if the devotees commit an abominable action. Who knows the verse from the Bhagavad Gita? Narayani.
Abhichek,
Yes. Even, thank you very much, Narayani, for enhancing our hearing pleasure. Even if one commits the most abominable action, is the English translation. If he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Imagine Krishna's perspective to say such a thing. Huh? He is ready to forgive us. Now, this brings us to a very important subject. Krishna is also pleased when a devotee is forgiving by his nature. If you want to remain fixed in the qualities of a sadhu, then you have to learn to become fixed in the quality of forgiveness. This material world is unfortunately full of aggressive people, people who also make sometimes mistakes. And if you do not learn to become forgiving, then you will leave the position of a sadhu. Whenever someone is disrespectful towards you, you are not forgiving, then you will come from the level of saintliness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains this. He says, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness. How do we say this properly, please? Covetousness. Gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, and so on. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly persons endowed with divine nature. Forgiveness is something which is indicative of a divine nature. On the quite and the opposite, there are five qualities which are roads to hell. It's pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature. It's very, very important, my dear devotees, that you learn to forgive the greater and the minor of offenses which are created invariably against your saintly personality. It's a very important. Chanakya Pandit has said that the main quality of a sadhu is his ability to forgive. It is said, the beauty of a woman are in his eyes, the beauty of a man are in his biceps muscles. No, this sounds wrong. In his intelligence. The beauty of a man are in his intelligence. The beauty of the nightingale, it's a bird, is in her beautiful singing. And the beauty of a sadhu are in his ability to forgive. You must learn this. There's a Christian prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Hallelujah. So, Prabhupada reminds us that Jesus forgave his torturers. This is very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur here encourages us. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. And it means give up your false ego and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant. And grass. Practice the virtue of tolerance by emulating the trees. Give up revenge and instead look after other creatures. You know, they say in Spanish, revenge is a sweet dish best served cold. That is, after some time. When he doesn't count any longer, that you give him a slap. Give up revenge and look after other creatures. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfish concerns by serving others, even if you possess all good qualities. Do not try to profit from it by looking for prestige. Keep your heart simple. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart, and so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. This is a standard, spiritual standard for forgiveness. When someone is not acting respectfully or even properly, no, there's Krishna in the heart of this person. He may have, at this moment, this person may have seen some fault in me by his own vision. Cultivate the four qualities of humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference to worldly honors. And chant the holy name. Have you noticed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts? He says, if you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories. Who desires to chant Krishna's names and glories? Many of us. And do you sometimes feel it's so difficult to chant properly? Yeah. If you really desire to do this, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. See, in this material world, people do everything to get a little money. They serve unqualified people mineral waters in the restaurant as waiters. And when the person says to the waiter, hey, waiter, you do not look properly dressed today, he will say, I will try my best to look better tomorrow, the waiter. He forgives everything. Because he knows he wants money and he wants what we can call in German the drinking money. Do you have a drink? What is it? A tip. Is it called a tip?
Yeah.
Trinkgeld, yeah. Trinkgeld, danke. A tip. He wants a tip. And he is prepared to do everything, to forgive everything, to just overlook everything. Because he is fixed on the value of wealth, of money. So if you are fixed on the value of chanting Krishna's name, you should be able to forgive the minor and bigger offenses against others. It's necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cries out, when, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant your holy names? Hare Krishna. This is on forgiveness. I want to see if you have any questions, my dear devotees. Yes?
How do you understand, though, that it says that Jai and Vijay, they were cursed, and in the Ram Lila, they were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then Sisipala and Dantavakra? How did this crow figure in there?
How did this Jai and Vijay became cursed and became three persons, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupala and Dantavakra, Yes, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. How did the crow fit in there? Yes, this is a very good question. Thank you very much. Let me see. Yeah, this is a very good question. I have no problems to speculate all kind of things, but I do not know the answer. Maybe it was a little detour, insignificant in terms of, or a partial demoniac, you know, representation, but I really cannot give an authorized answer. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How can we practically practice this forgiveness in our life?
How can we practically practice forgiveness in our life?
I mean, especially among devotees.
Especially amongst devotees. I think you agree with me, Fodiba, that to forgive you need a certain mental power or character power. And this power only comes by bhajan. It does not come in any other way. A person who has a good bhajan becomes spiritually strong to forgive. A person who has no strong bhajan will not be able to forgive. This is a very simple. Especially the power of tolerance and forbearing, these are all in the area of forgiveness. Do come from bhajan. That's the only source. And I think those of you who had to forgive someone, they know. And you're spiritually strong, you are able to forgive. Otherwise, it's just an artificial practice of a good intentioned mind. Mm-hmm. Krishna Nandan. What is the correct balance between bhajan and services which produce immediate results? There are different ways to approach this subject. I would like to give you one way which I'm personally practicing. Your own honesty will be able to tell you how well are you situated in spiritual life, how much are you under the modes of nature. And sometimes we need to do a little bit more. We need to read more and chant more because we feel spiritually weak, and then we can do. Obviously, this question ultimately needs to be discussed with one's guru. And I would strongly encourage you to do so. This balance between bhajan and active service, it needs to be discussed. He can assess you, he can see where you are and what you require. Yeah. Usually, in our tradition, Ekadasi, which happens every 2 weeks, is set aside for increased bhajan. Mm-hmm. Good. I wish to go to the next point. Prashanta is there. Hare Krishna.
Can I ask one more question, right?
Yeah.
when someone, if we've had a hard time with someone, and somehow we manage forgiving the person. How do we reestablish relationship with someone who offended us very badly and who hurt us? And we manage forgiving, but still we don't manage reconnecting a relationship. Does that mean we haven't forgiven, or is it is it a fact that we have to change the relationship or something?
How do we manage to establish a relationship to a person who has badly offended us and whom we have managed to forgive? It's very interesting that when Vallabhacharya comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to show his superiority, and in the process attacks Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Why do you devotees always chant Hare Krishna? No one should chant. We are Prakriti, we are female, and no woman calls her husband by her name or by his name always. Why do you always chant Hare Krishna? You should not chant Hare Krishna. This is what he says. So, at the end of this Leela, Vallabhacharya says, please, if you have forgiven me, then please accept my invitation. In other words, he wants to establish a relationship of a host to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu goes and visits him. So when we forgive someone, it's nice if there is some action which shows the person that we have forgiven him or her. It's nice. Then it is complete in culture. However, I do not... I'm one of these preachers in Krishna consciousness who thinks we shouldn't do any things artificial. If you just feel you can forgive, you have forgiven this person, but for a close relationship, you may feel we are so different, then I would do something, a respect from the distance. Because it might be that you come too close and again your biochemical compositions begin to react in a unfavorable way. I really believe in this. Keeping a well-wishing and kind, polite and respectful distance may sometimes be the most practical thing. But not a different distance from where you subtly hurt the other person. This is what I think we have to be practical. We are not Uttama Arikaris who see everyone on the same level, you know, as servants of Krishna. We wish to do this, but if we now preach as if we could do what Uttama Arikaris can do, I really don't think it would be so practical. But forgiving you must do. I will end this thing with a little side work to psychology, because I know devotees want to also hear about something practical. In Psychology Today, that's an American journal on psychology, an interesting experiment was described. The condensate of the human breath was investigated. This is the condensate of the human breath. When a person was angry, it was taken, the condensate, and it was seen there was enough poison in the condensate to kill one guinea pig. Hare Krishna. Now, if you are for 1 hour angry, your body produces enough poison to conveniently murder 80 innocent guinea pigs. To think if you are angry and not forgiving is bad for the other person, not for you, is as foolish as to think that by drinking a cup of poison, the other person will be harmed and not you. Hare Krishna. Forgiving is convenient. It gets the toxins out of your body. I'm trying to preach on the lowest possible level. that it is necessary to be forgiving, to convince my audience in all situations of life and intellectual stations. It's important. I'm very sorry for this. You have a poor preacher from the West who always has to say such things to convince a Western audience. We will now go back to Krishna as fast as we can. Okay? 29th quality, Vadanya. Vadanya means magnanimous. Srila Rupa Goswami defines a magnanimous person by saying, he who is a heroic giver is called magnanimous, heroic giver, a hero in giving. And Prabhupada explains this, any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. There is a very nice sloka which Rupa Goswami has composed. He says about Krishna that the slayer of Kamsa completely satisfied the desires of all those who approached him with a wish, thereby rendering worthless the Chintamani jewel. You know what the Chintamani jewel can do? Turn iron into gold. It can fulfill you many desires. The Kamadhenu cow is better than the Kamadhenu cow and the Kalpadruma tree, who now with humility worship Krishna's royal city of Dwaraka. Krishna is such a magnanimous giver. He gives away more than the Chintamani jewel, more than the Kamadhenu cow, and more than the Kalpadruma tree. What is a Kalpadruma tree? A wish-fulfilling tree. You can go under a wish-fulfilling tree and ask him for everything, says Prabhupada. Not only the fruits which belong to the species of the tree, but anything. I mean, pelicans and psycho wristwatches. There is no limitation to a real Kalpadruma tree, the trees who are standing in the spiritual world. And this is really Krishna's giving nature. He's giving himself even to his devotees. Srila Prabhupada says, in the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows, which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees, from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits, as much as they may desire. And the land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron, will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still when Krishna was in Dwaraka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. I find this a very, very, very important quality of Lord Krishna. He is giving more than a Kalpa Vriksha tree, more than a Kamadhenu cow, more than a touchstone. Rupa Goswami gives a second example that, you know, when Krishna lived in Dwaraka, he expanded himself in 16,108 forms, which resided in 16,108 palaces. So every morning the brahmanas came to Lord Krishna at the doorstep of the palace, and daily Krishna would give 13,054 lavishly ornamented cows in charity. Imagine, he did this from each one of the 16,108 palaces. The cows had golden horns, wonderful blankets with silken embroidery work. They had sometimes sapphires on their hooves for decoration. minor decorations, and so on. I have asked someone to work with a computer and count how many cows Krishna gave daily. And this is what the computer said. 2 million... No, wrong. I said, so I can't even pronounce this without fainting, so I might fall now back over. 208 million decorated cows were given by Krishna each day. You must agree, someone who can give daily 208 million cows is a most magnanimous person. Yes, even the cows are fully agreeable to this. Now, Lord Krishna is talking about... Yes, we know. We have no doubts. Thank you for your kind memory, reminding us. Krishna glorifies the quality of magnanimity. Oh, I can't speak this word. Please say it.
Magnanimity.
Yes, yes. See, the cows are getting ecstatic to hear this. He describes this, and he says, a magnanimous person should give his life, wealth, and intelligence to others. Krishna has given this. Lord Krishna is more magnanimous even than Lord Rama. See, when Ravana's sister Sopanak begged Rama for his hand, Rama said no. But when Sopanaka reappeared in Dwarapa Yuga as Kubja, she again wanted to have Krishna, and she expressed her desire by when she met Krishna in Mathura. I mean, this was quite extraordinary. She began to rip and to pull at the dhoti. This is a very, very clear sign of her desire. You know, this is quite obvious and quite, I mean, maybe not the most cultured sign for a woman to express her desire to a man. But Krishna was so magnanimous that he gladly accepted her proposal and gave himself in return. He paid a visit to Kubja. So Lord Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this form, he was even more magnanimous than Krishna. There is an acceleration, or an increasement of magnanimity. First is Lord Rama, then comes Krishna is more magnanimous, and then now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given something which even Krishna himself did not give. Krishna gave himself to Kubja, which is already something, but he did not give love. Hari Bol!
Yes.
Please speak. Yes. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goda Tvise Namaha. Very good. Yes, we certainly agree. Yes, we are fully on your side. Krishna is wonderful. More. This cow is in ecstasy. No, it's a cow. Yes, because she heard about Krishna. At least I see the udder. It's really nice. Look, it's a cow. Please, one more time. She feels Baba.
Black cows with black milk.
Krishna had a black cow.
Actually, once Krishna was asked, why are you so black? You cannot be the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda because you are so black. And they are fair. So Krishna couldn't answer. And then Yashoda said, you were given the cows of the cow milk of black cows. That's why. So Krishna was saved. Let us read about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, this is very nice. This is ecstatic to hear about Krishna. This cow was so ecstatic. Have you heard? Have you seen how she? I think you did not see, but she really went, really. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Who is more? Please repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya,
who is more magnanimous
than any other avatar,
even Krishna himself,
because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given. Pure love of Krishna. Now Krishna is very, very happy if a devotee also becomes a magnanimous giver. My dear devotees, you will not gain entrance into the kingdom of God by remaining or becoming a taker. You must become a giver. Give away your time, your intelligence, if you are rich, your wealth, and preach to people to elevate them. Krishna was once going through Vrindavan, and as he was going through Vrindavan, he saw the trees, and in great ecstasy, he began to praise the trees for their magnanimity. I will not be able to say it. For being magnanimous. Here is Krishna's own words for you. Taking shelter of the shade of the trees, Krishna became very happy. While walking, he began to address the inhabitants of Vrindavan. My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varutapa, and so on. He calls all his friends together because he wants to tell them something. Just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigues and give us shelter. For instance, this tree under which we are sitting, it didn't have a heater this night. It didn't have a closed room. It was very cold for the tree. In the morning, it was almost ice-cold fog which enveloped the tree. Yesterday, we hang something around the tree. But the tree is always there and will give us a shadow. Now it is not required. The fog gives us a shadow. Krishna is so happy about the trees that he says, my dear friends, I think these are great souls who are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated charitable men who never deny bhakti to one who approaches them. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and work, words, engaging in the welfare of all living entities. And here's a purport. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society according to their own views. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of computer technology. Oh no, wrong. I'm sorry, I'm a little spaced out. But the welfare activity that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement as instructed by Lord Chaitanya. One should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. This is from Krishna Book, Chapter 22. If you become more advanced in Brahminical qualities, my dear devotees, you should know that as a Brahmin, you have six duties, and half of these six duties is giving to others, being magnanimous. The six duties of a Brahmana are to study the scriptures, to perform sacrifice, and to live by receiving charity. In case you do not know, Prabhupada gave me the Brahmin initiation, and I'm at this moment a little poor. Hare Krishna. So the next three duties are not just you should not only study scriptures, you should teach scripture. You should not only perform sacrifice, you should perform yajna for the benefit of others. And you should not only receive charity, you should give charity. It's very important for your moral and spiritual growth to become magnanimous. Hare Krishna. So I'm very, very thankful that you have listened so carefully. We will now make a little pause of 15 minutes. A well-deserved pause, I think. Please use this pause. Some of you might like to chant, move a little bit around as to become more fresh. The next quality which we will have is a quality which I personally like extremely much. Krishna is Karuna, or compassionate. Karuna Sindhu. Yes. So, in 15 minutes, who has one of these very good wristwatches which work very wonderfully and can tell me what is now the time? 10:53. Acha. Okay, so 10 minutes past 10, huh? We see each other. Thank you very much. Shri Giriraj Ko Vadan Ki Jai. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpati. You are not saying. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate,
Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rata Kanta Namostute. Karuna Sindhu, he is an ocean of compassion, and Dina Bandhu, he is the Bandhu of friend of the fallen. The definition for compassionate is a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. The example which Srila Rupa Goswami gives to us are the 20,800 kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha, the demoniac king of Magadha. These kings had been brought after single combat with this demon Jarasandha into the Giri Droni fortress. It's an inaccessible fortress in the mountains, which was really highly guarded and considered to be inescapable. No one could come out from this. Now, these kings are described, were kept there for a certain purpose. If you hear this purpose, you might shudder in terror. They were kept there as human sacrifices for a particular form of Lord Shiva called Bhairava. And they were there just waiting until they were taken out for this human sacrifice. You can imagine they had no peaceful hour in their lives. They were always counting who's next. I cannot describe to you how they must feel. Imagine you are in a dark hole, you don't get enough food, and you have to be prepared that any moment the people or servants of Jarasandha come out to pull you out for human sacrifice. Can you imagine how you feel? It must be very, very much anxiety and worry. So, some devotees say that this condition perfectly represents our condition in the material world. We are here also only for a few days, and then the notice might come, you have cancer, you have an incurable disease, or the time of your life has come. This is how the situation is there. Now Krishna heard about these 20,800 kings from a messenger who somehow got the message from the somehow smuggled the message out, he was requested by the kings, please save us. So then Lord Krishna, according to Krishna book, appeared in the prison of the kings to those kings. It's almost like the deity form of the Lord, Radha Gopinath or Radha Syam Sunda or Radha Madan Mohan or Radha Kunya Bihari appear before the vision of the conditioned soul to give assurance to them. And you know how Radharani always keeps her hand in an assuring version. She says, fearlessness, don't fear, don't be afraid, you have reached my shelter. These kings were emaciated by hunger, and their face were remarkably dried up because of all that anxiety which was in their mind. Then I will read to you from the Bhagavatam's original text. The kings then beheld the Lord before them. His complexion was dark blue, like the color of a cloud, and he wore a yellow silk garment. He was distinguished by the Srivatsa mark on his chest, his four mighty arms, the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the whirl of a lotus flower, and his lovely, cheerful face, his gleaming Makara earrings and the lotus, club, conch shell and disc in his hands, a helmet, a jeweled necklace, a golden belt and golden bracelets, and armlets decorated his form, and on his neck he wore both the brilliant precious Kostuba gem and a garland of forest flowers. Can someone of you describe what he has just heard? How did Krishna appear?
A garland of forest flowers.
A bluish complexion, likened to a cloud. Sri Vatsa sign. Four hands. And it was pinkish in the inside. A Kostuba jewel. What is the shape of the Kostuba jewel? It looks like a little calf. It's reddish. And sometimes Lord Krishna tells in the pastime to the Kostuba jewel, show something, and then a scene, almost as if there would be the Kostuba jewel would turn into a film projector, is put for his devotees so that they can see something. Yes? Any other thing? Makara-shaped earrings. They look like a fish which has the it's hanging at the see Krishna with the Makara shaped earrings. It's like a fish which is hanging on his tail. Wonderful. So when the king saw Lord Krishna, they came so much in bhava that the Bhagavatam describes their reactions in a very nice way. And the kings seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes. They seemed to lick him with their tongue, relish his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. Their past sins now eradicated, the kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their heads at his feet. And they said a very nice prayer, which I want to request all of you to say after me. I will translate to you the prayer first, because I feel this is a prayer which all of us should feelingly offer to the Lord, because we are in a similar captured situation. Oh, you devotees of the Lord, captured in the prisons of your minds, please listen. Obeisances to you, O Lord of the ruling demigods, O destroyer of your surrendered devotees' distress. Since we have surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna, please save us from this terrible material life which has made us so despondent. The kings didn't think, oh, now we are out of the prison, now let us go to the cinema. They said, please save us from the terrors of the material life, which is more than this prison. Please repeat after me. Namaste Deva Devesha.
Namaste.
Prapanati haravyaya. Prapanam pahina Krishna.
Pahina
Krishna. Nirvinan gora sanskritis. Yes. Rupa Goswami composes a verse. He says, I now worship that son who is the joy of the Yadus, who as the compassionate one produced blissful eyes for the kings who had become blind by going into the prison of the king of Magadendra, that dark hole of suffering. Similarly, we are spiritually blind. We look at Giriraj. What can we see? We can only feel a little mercy, but we cannot see the caves which are there, the trees which are with rubies, and so on. The divine couple who are walking over Giriraj, who is there lying in obeisances before Lord Krishna. We wish to also have real eyes instead of our blinded eyes, who are so blind because of this long stay in the material world. A second example of Krishna's compassion is his compassion towards grandfather Bhishma. When Lord Krishna saw Lord Bhishma, his great devotee, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his heart was moved by the swift currents of his compassion. Krishna was bathed by compassion with tears which came out of his quivering eyes. Prabhupada describes this scene. While lying on the bed of arrow, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna. Thus Krishna appeared there. Upon the pitiable condition of Bhishma, upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. He forgot that he is Krishna, out of compassion. I think you must understand the need of a dying person. Can you imagine the need of a dying person? He only wants Krishna at that time, because no one else, nothing else, can save him. So at that time Krishna came. There's a shloka. I always call it the verse of the dying man. Oh, you have come like the medicine for a hopelessly diseased person. You have come like a boat for the drowning person. And you have come like the sun, my Lord, at the evening of my life. How nice that Krishna came. Krishna is so unmeasurable compassionate that Rupa Goswami composed a very nice verse in his Stavamala in glorification of Krishna's compassion. O destroyer of the demon Agasura, O destroyer of the demon Agasura, my heart burns with despair when I hear of the difficult spiritual practices of the saints of old times like Shukadev and Ambarish, for I am totally devoid of devotion. You know, the devotee thinks Shukadev and Ambarish did so much to serve Lord Krishna that I can't possibly follow their example. I'm becoming only mental when I hear about this and despondent, because I certainly can't do this. But when I hear from the scriptures and the sadhu that the waves of your compassion, Krishna, are flowing towards everyone, from Brahma down to the lowliest creature, the drops of nectarian hope cool off my heart and pacify it. So this is the compassion. Now, when we speak about Krishna, we have to introduce to you Krishna's compassion. We have to introduce to you the most compassionate nature of Lord Krishna. There is someone who is more merciful than Lord Krishna. And we will sing now very shyly and respectfully the name of this personality. Radhe, 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 Jai Jai Desi Radhe, 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 Jai Jai Desi Radhe, 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 Jai Jai Desi Radhe. Devotees who know of this secret, who know of the compassionate nature of Lord Krishna, directly turn to Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada writes about this very confidential point. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. There is a secret, a well-kept secret in our tradition, which is walled in by high walls of caution. Nevertheless, it is an important secret, and for all the kind critics which are on this planet Earth, I want to say this is directly from Nectar of Devotion. It is not my own invention. Devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. There is a very important verse which comes in the Bhajan Rahasya. It is a verse which is directly quoted from Raghunath Das Goswami, the captain of Radhakund. Raghunath Das Goswami asks a question which is extremely important for us. How is it possible to enter into the ocean of Syam Rasa? Rasa means a certain type of mellow which appears in a relationship, and when a devotee wants to have this taste in Krishna consciousness, this Krishna Bhakti Rasa, or Bhakti Rasa, he in effect wants to have a relationship with Lord Krishna, which is life, alive and well, which is this is compared to be like an ocean. When you turn only, when you only taste a drop of this rasa ocean, only a little drop, you will turn easily away from the illusory pleasures of the world. They cannot stand in comparison to this taste of divine Syam rasa or Krishna rasa. So Raghunath Goswami asked the question, how can we get a drop of this ocean? Have you ever also felt like this? I'm chanting, I'm doing everything, but my heart is dry. Not a drop. And that's why I turn frequently to politics and prajapa. So the easy way to obtain this is you must go to three substances. You must worship the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. You must take shelter of Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints. And you must serve her devotees. These three things you must do to get the rasa in Krishna consciousness, the Syam rasa or Bhakti rasa. Like we have two very nice devotees from England who have just now come, Bharati and other name? Kirti. Kirti means the glorious one. They have come today to join us, and they have looked in disbelief at Giriraj and felt so much mercy coming from Giriraj, so much transcendental Shakti. They have seen this, and I think we are all gradually basking in this mercy. Gradually we are prepared. And we ask ourselves, how is it so nice here? It is because, yes, here is the dust of Srimati Radharani all over. I want to read to you now this verse which I have summarized so that you can really understand this point very nicely. Raghunatha Goswami asks, how is it possible to immerse oneself in the ocean of Syam Ras, love for Krishna, without worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani? Or without taking shelter of Vrindavan, which is decorated with her footprints? Or without serving her devotees, whose grave hearts are always absorbed in love for her? This well-kept secret is also leaking out of Srila Prabhupada's poetry. We hear about a lot of emphatic listening. Emphatic listening is a certain skill. Raj Bihari Prabhu, how would you describe emphatic listening as opposed, for instance, to attentive listening? Can you please help us? Empathic, yes.
As opposed to?
Attentive listening.
Empathic implies that you put yourself in the other person's shoes. And you try to understand things from their perspective.
Oh, yeah. I remember I was at a course of yours about this in Radish. Empathic, it's called. Not empathic, but empathic. It means you really go into the situation of that person who tells you something, go into his shoes, and you try to understand things from his perspective. Now, Prabhupada is saying something about empathic talking. He says, I empathically say to you, it means Prabhupada puts himself in our shoes. He doesn't talk about something which is beyond us or not relevant or which can be conveniently ignored. He says, I empathically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. It's wonderful, isn't it?
I emphatically say it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting yourself in our shoes. Yes. Oh yeah.
Very, very
oh yeah. So it's something else than emphatic. I get mixed up. It's different, isn't it?
Not for us, not for you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm linguistically not totally on course here. So this is more. Yeah, Siddhanta. This is more with a lot of. Exclamation mark. Yeah, yeah, it's has a lot of exclamation marks behind. So, I emphatically say to you, I really have to learn English now. Oh, brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. I want to give you an example of Radharani's compassion, which extends even to the very insignificant creatures. This is from a conversation of Vrindadevi and Purnamasi. Vrindadevi, at one stage of the conversation, wants to tell Purnamasi about the compassion of Radharani. And she uses an example which she has personally witnessed. She says, "Oh Devi, someone as compassionate as Radha cannot be found. Listen, as I will tell you an example. One day she saw a newly born calf had its mouth pierced by a blade of grass. Shedding tears of compassion, she smeared its lips with kumkum." Kumkum is very disinfective and it creates a sensation which helps the wound to cure. Now Jiva Goswami, he hears the words of Vrindadevi and he makes a comment. He says, this calf which was medically treated by Srimati Radharani was a calf born to one of Krishna's favorite cows. Which means Radha is more compassionate to someone or something who pleases and serves Krishna. In other words, this is how we are taught, we should not ignore Krishna for Radharani. We should be servants of Lord Krishna, and then go to Srimati Radharani. Now, what happens when we really land in the camp of Radharani is another story not meant for this seminar on the 64 qualities of Krishna. We will stay with Krishna on this seminar. There is one verse by Rupa Goswami who says, "My dear Radhika, your heart is like an ocean which overflows with the waves of compassion. Oh Radhika, please let your mercy flow in my heart and be satisfied with this person who wants nothing else than to become your maidservant." This is a very nice prayer to Srimad. There are many nice prayers to Srimati Radharani, which can be found in our literature. Bhajan Rahasya has many nice prayers. One prayer is that, "I'm drowning in this ocean. Please come with your boat of mercy and deliver me." The other, "Tavaivasmi, Tavaivasmi. I'm yours, I'm yours. Please understand this, I'm yours. I cannot maintain my life any longer without your mercy." This is a very nice prayer. Please say, "I am yours.
I am yours.
Please kindly understand, I am yours.
Please kindly understand, I am yours.
I cannot maintain my life any longer.
I cannot maintain my life any longer.
Without your compassion.
Without your compassion.
Yes, these are very high subjects, very nice subjects in Krishna consciousness. And especially while we are here in Vrindavan, we should think about Srimati Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari and also as Shameshwari. Shameshwari means the goddess of forgiveness. We may have ignored Srimati Radharani for too long in our Krishna consciousness, but she is certainly forgiving as Shameshwari. And here we can turn to this most compassionate nature of Krishna to obtain maximum of mercy. Please do not forget, here in Vrindavan, you are not the doers. The best you can do is be a mercy hunter. Hare Krishna. And the mercy will move you in whatever ways. This is something on compassion of Lord Krishna and the compassion in the nature of Lord Krishna, which is represented by Srimati Radhika. In two very nice sections which will appear in the Naam Rahasya, Srimati Radharani will be glorified. And I've included two very nice quotations from Srila Prabhupada, who says that anyone who turns to Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani will turn this devotee to Krishna. She will say, "Oh, he is such a qualified devotee." Prabhupada says, "No matter whatever nonsense I may be, if Srimati Radharani recommends me to her dear Krishna, Krishna will accept." Prabhupada in these statements even says, instead of offering directly a flower to Krishna, offer it to Srimati Radharani. Go to Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Do you have questions on the compassionate nature of or on this quality called Karuna? I must say, my dear devotees, when I heard that Krishna is compassionate, I felt just my life has a chance. There comes a time for everyone where we get tired of everything else, instead, except for the longing of our souls and our own journey back home, back to Godhead. In that time, we must find out how can we approach Lord Krishna. And it's only possible by compassion, which is also an empathic thing. Krishna thinks himself into our situation. There's a prayer by Jagannath Das Babaji who says, "My dear Lord, when I hear that you are Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of your devotees, I become sad because I'm not a devotee. But when I hear that you are Dina Bandhu, the friend of the fallen, my heart jumps in ecstasy. I am qualified, very greatly qualified." And this, he appeals to the compassionate nature of Lord Krishna. What do you think about this? Isn't it wonderful? Govinda Mohini, you have a chance. We should dance up and down all the alleys and gullies around the Govardhan Hill. The compassionate nature of Krishna, the compassionate nature. He has taken me on his lap. Although I may sometimes produce some unpleasing fragrances, he has taken me on his lap. I have a chance. This is how a devotee rejoices in knowing of the compassionate nature. Sachi Devi looks hopeful now. We have hope. Parikshit, what do you think?
Yes, I hope.
Quite hopeful. Yes, quite hopeful. Yes. Krishnananda, what do you think?
The prayer I heard that I hope against hope I will receive the
mercy. Yes. You can. You can. It is not an irrelevant prayer. Because there is this quality in Lord Krishna. There is a, in Orissa, they have a very interesting biological analysis of Lord Jagannath's eye. They say, they ask the question, why is, has Lord Jagannath a red rim or red border around his eye? And this is the anatomical eye analysis they come with. They say, when a person feels compassion for another person, a little spot, a red spot, develops in the whiteness of his eye. Now, Lord Jagannath is so compassionate that his whole eye is bordered by a red color. This is the anatomical analysis of Lord Jagannath's eye. It's a compassionate eye. Ah, oh, Krishna. Anyone has any question regarding this? No question. We have hope now. Yes. Aniruddhaji. It seems, says Aniruddha Prabhu, from his observation, maybe, from his experience, that if we stay alone in the Dham, we may not experience the mercy and compassion of Lord Krishna. But as we stay in the association of devotees, then we can experience this. This is a very good point. I was, in fact, thinking about this this morning, and I would like to make a hopefully interesting and mind-stirring comment on this. That in the association of devotees, something is had, and in the solitude, something else is had. In the association of devotees, one is carefully, one is guarded of anattas, which often keep the mercy from reaching our heart. In the association of like-minded devotees, a second thing also happens. In the association of devotees who talk about Krishna and who are Krishna consciously moved, then the Krishna conscious subject gets a taste for us. Now, I very, very strongly felt that when Burijan Prabhu on the first day had given us this wonderful quotation of Madhuya Kadambani. And I have read Madhuya Kadambani quite often, I could say. Well, it's relative, but maybe, I do not know, around 10 times. And this quotation had always escaped my attention, which is very difficult because I think I'm a Paka nectar hunter, but this was the greatest nectar, and I had not seen it. This is very shameful at the beginning. I was sinking in the ground. How could Burijan find this and not me?
By your mercy,
Hare Krishna. But then when he read this,
my enviousness quickly dissolved, and I began to taste this very nice quotations, and then he donated this quotation to me.
Donation
or thievery? Hare Krishna. Yes, so I remembered in the association of devotees, this is there. You can get the rasa. Satam prasanga mama virya sangvidu bhavanti hritkana rasayana katha. This, you can get the rasa. But there's something also to be gotten in solitude. This is a point where I will also enter the slightly controversial part of ISKCON. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur often says, if you wish to improve your chanting, you either do it in the association of devotees or in solitude. There is solitude is a means of gyam, a means of attaining knowledge, because in the solitude you are forced to think on your own relationship. You are forced to fly with your own wings. And this sometimes builds muscles which are necessary to fly. We always hear about the protective influence of devotees and the giving influence of devotee association. These two things should never be neglected. And even when you are on the platform of prema, you certainly need the association of devotees. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj's statement. But it is also sometimes necessary to learn to fly your own plane, because this is what life is. You will die alone. Everything will go out. You will not see anyone. You will not hear anyone. You will be on your own plane. And then it is important that you do have Krishna to turn to. You have learned your lessons. Nice. In other words, yes, the association of devotees is very good and very pleasurable. Sometimes it may be good to think also about 1 hour of solitude, or maybe 2 hours of solitude, where we fly our plane alone. Mm-hmm. Compassion. Any question on compassion? I think it is clear. When will I get the compassion of Krishna? This is the only question. I want to go to the next quality. I personally think that anyone who has come to Giriraj in such a situation, in such a setting, I don't want to make now advertisement for the Govardhan retreat. This is not my purpose. Although I will make advertisement a little later, but then I will clearly announce it. But this is a purely philosophical statement. I really feel to find in your heart the desire to come and sit before Giriraj, it can't be your own desire. It's a great mercy which has been given to you. A devotee understands that he is not independent in his thinking and willing and so on. And this desire which moved your heart is clearly Krishna's mercy. Like our two Matajis from the Pandava Seva, little young Matajis, energetic and want to know the world, and all of a sudden they sit on the lap of Giriraj. This is mercy. It is not your own credit. Yeah, please forgive me. You agree. It is mercy. Yes, yes. It is very merciful. I will now end this little session today. It went faster than I thought and than I planned. I mean the time. I wanted to cover much more, but Krishna. I wanted now to talk on a totally different quality, which shows a little bit Krishna's, I mean, they are all inner qualities, but here is a quality which you will find very interesting. Dakshina. means Krishna is gentle. Rupa Goswami defines gentleness as he whose behavior is cautious and gentle is called gentle by the wise. And Prabhupada says, any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed up nature is called gentle. Now, a very endearing example of Krishna's gentleness was when Krishna arrived at the arena of the Rajasuja sacrifice, which was arranged by Maharaj Yudhisthira. He had been invited to come, so he was coming with his chariot, and he saw the chariot of Yudhisthira. Now, by the custom, Yudhisthira was slightly older than Krishna, and therefore Krishna, by the custom, was the one who had to pay obeisances first to Yudhisthira. So Krishna came with his chariot and saw that Yudhisthira was, you know, of course, getting, you know, preparing to get down from his chariot. So Krishna quickly jumped from his chariot to be the first one to offer obeisances. Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Krishna's older cousin. Maharaj Yudhisthira knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. Now I will read to you a text from a poetic work called the Magha Kavya. Seeing from a distant king Yudhisthira beginning to get down from his chariot, Hari got down from his first, thereby eagerly demonstrating his humility. How gentle, isn't it? Gentle means very cautious in his behavior. Not flashing or dashing. Very cautious, very gentle. Huh? And Srila Prabhupada explains this, how Krishna feels. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never forgets to show social etiquette in his dealings. What's wonderful, I really believe this is something for the gentle Hare Krishna devotees. Now, a more amazing act than this is yet to come. He washed voluntarily and out of his free volition the dust-covered feet of all the guests who came. Which other powerful king would overcome his arrogance to wash the feet of the guests? It is not so, you know, the feet after walking are covered with everything and anything, and also they produce a certain odor, which is from the walking. You know, to wash a whole sacrificial arena, all the people, the feet. It's a major investment of time and energy, you know. Really. Gentleness is important if you want to preach. It is said of the six Goswamis that they were attractive both to the gentle, the dhira, and to the ruffians, the adhiras. This gentleness will come in your heart when you feel as a devotee that you must extend or show something of Krishna's compassion to the fallen souls. Then you will feel respectful and gentle, knowing that Krishna wishes to help them then you are saying, I will give my best. You must see, when people see that a devotee is gentle and free from malice, the first reaction is they relax. Whew, nothing to fear from this person. Because they know a gentle person is almost incapable of hurting another person. And when people are relaxed and happy, being solidly pleased by the gentle qualities of a devotee, they are ready to take the essence of what he has to give. I would like to tell you something of my own experience. Before I became a Krishna conscious devotee, I took great inspiration from the famous song Street Fighting Men. I was practiced in the art of mean fighting, how to hit an enemy that he is unable to move. And I was participating in demonstrations and so on. I think now you cannot see this so much because it is gone, this nature. And even when I was in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, I would engage my fighting capabilities with pleasure. And I was just hoping, hopefully someone attacks the devotees today. And then I was, yes, Burijan Prabhu looks with utter shock. Yeah, it has changed, yes, yes. I still remember to this time that... Anyways, I do not want to brag about my sinful activities. It's all right. It's not for Giri Raj to hear. If you know the art of mean fighting, not fair fighting, you don't need to be extremely strong. You just need to know from what angle to come. That's the only science. Yes. And I really remembered that this nature has to be changed, I thought. We must become gentlemen, Prabhupada said it so clearly to us. And I could see in my own life, when you are trying to be gentle by sincerely respecting devotees, you can say to them the most outrageous things. You can directly criticize them, and they will take it with great happiness. Oh, yes! Finally, someone says something. Oh, I will think about this. When you go the road of gentleness, you can reach everywhere. When you go the road of roughness, you will be stopped before the gates of most people's heart. For gentleness, you must be cautious. This is what Rupa Goswami says. You must understand where is the person. You must respect the person. You must be something like, I hope I say now the right thing. Raj Bihari said it with a loud P. Empathic. Empathic, yes, a loud P must. And the emphatic is with a silent P, maybe. With emphasis, yes. This is the difference. So, you must... This is a must. We must practice the mode of goodness. And it must come to us. I want to end with a story from Australia. Hare Krishna, of all places. Once Prabhupada went after an initiation, into an Australian bathroom, Australian temple bathroom, and he saw the untidiness and dirt in the bathroom, which I think we can understand. I mean, there must be many more persons there than were ordinarily in the temple, because Srila Prabhupada was there and everyone had come from other temples as well. Prabhupada inspected the bathroom and he saw it was not up to the standard, and he said, "A Brahmana cannot tolerate this uncleanliness. What kind of Brahmanas are you?" He will revolt against dirt. He will not feel happy in dirt. He will, I can't stay here. I can't even... I go in the bushes, which are clean. I can't even do whatever I need to do in the bathroom here. It is not... it is repulsive, this atmosphere. So a devotee should feel a natural feeling that this rough nature, rough expressions, rough dealings with each other are not attractive. I can't stand it here. It is too rough. It is not favorable for my Krishna consciousness. Let me quickly change the atmosphere or leave the atmosphere. Gentleness is important. Radhe, Radhe. So with this, we want to end. We are already 4 minutes more than...
Maharaj, you have 26 more minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm always doing this. Mistakes. Aha, you said 1:45 we can stop. I thought 11:45 we should stop. This is called not listening properly. Not listening emphatically. Hare Krishna. Any question on gentleness? Krishna being Dakshi. Yes, Tirtharaj Prabhu.
It goes back to the other one, the compassion one. And can you give an example of how Krishna is unlimitedly compassionate?
Can you give an example how Krishna is unlimitedly compassionate?
How is it in relationship to the other question somebody made yesterday about how from a devotee's side sometimes you feel hopeless?
Yeah. I will give you an example which you will never forget, Dhritaraj. Are you ready? You might fall down the chair when you hear it. For me, the example is what I heard in Puri. There was one pujari once who had the seva to attend to Lord Jagannath when he was going out on Ratha Yatra procession. There are such pandas who only once in a year, during this occasion, attend Lord Jagannath. His name was Balaram. He's well known. Balaram had good qualities, but one bad quality, he was unlimitedly passionate and therefore often visited the prostitutes. Now, one morning, after a passionate night, he was bedecked all over his body with the lipstick and eyeliners of his companion for the night. He noticed, oh, it's Ratha Yatra day. I have slept, I've overslept. And he ran towards the chariot of Lord Jagannath because this was his day to be in attendance to Lord Jagannath. He climbed on the cart and wanted to perform his chamara service. When the pujari saw the unusual ornaments on his body, which were indicative to his sinful life, they were so protestful that they threw him down the chariot. Balaram, how do you dare? Not even a shower you have done, and you proudly display your sinful nature before the Lord. Balaram hit the ground. He said, my Lord, you are unlimitedly compassionate. I can understand that your pujaris act like this, but that you have allowed this is too much. And he ran from the cart in a sulky mood. He sat down on the beach of Puri. He built a Ratha Yatra cart from sand. And he did his own Ratha Yatra. Jai Jagannath. He loved Jagannath. Jai Jagannath. Jai Jagannath.
and you throw me down the cart. Jai Jagannath. So he was very protestful. Now, while all this was going on, the carts couldn't move. The king brought the elephants, the hefty, defty pullers, the muscular pullers. He brought everyone, but the carts wouldn't move. Finally, the crowd dispersed for the night. The king retired, and he received a dream. Lord Jagannath was coming. I can't move, really, because my devotee is angry with me, and he does not, he has his own Ratha Yatra. You please go and get this Balaram from the, he's at the beach, he sings the whole night, you know. You get him in the morning and you tell him he can come on the chariot, but maybe it's a good idea to take a bath first. So then in the morning a party came with the king blowing shinai, like an honorary person was greeted. And the king said, Lord Jagannath wishes you to perform your service, and he has a message. Maybe it's a good idea to take a bath. So Balaram went into the joyfully into the ocean, scrubbed himself. I believe the king had brought a new dhoti. And then he went and performed his service. In Puri, you will hear many of these itihasa stories. Itihasa means what is told by the folklore. But the example which Rupa Goswami chooses to give for Lord Krishna's compassion is that he appeared in the prison of these kings who were ready, actually, for sacrifice to this fearful form of Lord Shiva. And he displayed his beautiful form to them and released them from their prison life. And later he also, he then fought with Yarasandra, so that there was nothing to worry from Yarasandra's side, and so on. A compassion of Lord Krishna, you asked for examples. I personally believe the greatest example is how Lord Krishna is active for our own deliverance. You know, the conditioned souls who turn away from the Lord are giving a playground, which is the material world. But in this world, the Lord personally descends as the different avatars to show the pastimes which will attract us back home, back to Godhead. Then the Lord personally comes into the heart of each one of his forgetful servitors as the super soul, and is highly active as soon as someone even turns a little bit towards him. Then Lord Krishna's compassion is going out towards outwardly. He appears for the blind souls as deity forms. Like Aniruddha said, when he thought of Krishna, immediately the beautiful deities of the Melbourne temple came into his mind. I think Radha Ballabha, you said? Radha Ballabha. Lord Krishna takes this form. And if this is not enough, Tirtharaj, he comes at the holy name, personally. He's very compassionate. There is a very endearing scene in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Lord Krishna turns, where Gop Kumar comes to Vaikuntha, and Lord Narayan speaks to him about the compassion. He said, "Hope had me constantly look down the path whether you would come or not. But when you did not come, and when you even didn't show any sign of interest in me," interest means you did not start to chant my names,
When you did not start to chant, no interest. Then I decided to break my own codes. What are the codes of the Lord? The codes of the Lord is He will never interfere in the independence of the living entity. So let us now hear how Krishna, out of His compassion, breaks His own laws. You can be rest assured He does it in a very intelligent way, still keeping the other thing intact. Then I appear to you as your spiritual master, Jayanta. No? And then, as Jayanta, I gave you the mantra which you required to come here. And now you're here. Please make give happiness to both me and you. Stay here. I have not yet come to a similar passage. There is a similar passage which appears when Gop Kumar finally reaches Goloka Vrindavan. I have not yet... I've read it before. Krishna says almost identical words. But I have not read it for a long time because I'm waiting for the final edition of the wonderful translation team in the Bhaktivedanta Ashram of Gopi Paranandana Keshava Bharati and Jayadvaita Maharajas. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think this is a compassion. He acts for our deliverance, Tirtharaj. And if one is a little clever, he will see these different signs of Lord Krishna where He acts for our deliverance, how He's very active in our deliverance. When you study a little bit your life, how Krishna came into your life, how He sent Srila Prabhupada, and so on, you will definitely feel, ooh, some compassionate master is pulling his lost servant on the hair back to him. It's his mercy campaign, a very compassionate campaign. Because compassion means you think yourself in the role of the person you want to be compassionate. The three rules, if you ever wish to show compassion, you must do three rules, three steps. First is, you must ask yourself, do I want to show compassion? The second is, you must understand the situation of the person you want to show compassion. It's very important. Otherwise, it's not real compassion. In German, we have this word, someone gives a Ratschlag. The English word is advice. Ratschlag means an advice which you beat. Schlag means, this is a Schlag. So, an advice Schlag. Do you have such a word in English? I don't like Ratschlag. It's a very interesting etymological form of misplaced compassion. You know, you give your advice like a... when you point this out to the Germans, because it's a very commonly used word, Ratschlag, they think, oh, yes, I don't want to have a Ratschlag, you know. No one wants to have a Ratschlag, an advice beat, an advice push, or whatever it's called. So you must think yourself if you want to show compassion into the situation of the other. And then you must practice, that's the third step, is you must practically do something to help the other person. This is what compassion entails. Do you want to be compassionate? Think about the other situation. How does he feel in the situation? And then get going to do something practical. Yes, thank you for your wonderful question, Tirtharaj.
There's a second part,
oh.
Which was the hopelessness that sometimes you meet devotees who have been devotees and they feel very hopeless, that they don't want to continue their life because they feel... they can't make it back as devotees. They don't think that there's anything that they could do to bring them back into the association.
Hopelessness of devotees. Mm-hmm. And I suspect you have done, you have made it easy for them to return. You have posted gentle devotees on their way and done all these things. Huh? And still they feel hopeless. I personally think, and here again I'm a little controversial, it's a psychological thing which must be addressed professionally sometimes. I have seen this very, very often. This hopelessness can sometimes be, you know, things went so wrong in the life and they are traumatized and so on, and they have a scar in their personality which has to be put right, and by someone who does counseling, who knows counseling, a devotee counselor. I think there are some good devotee counselors. I really believe that that is necessary. Obviously, I'm not speaking about someone who has a normal hopelessness, you know, that. But the normal hopelessness can be dispelled. Devotees can show themselves in an open way. They can show the person, something has changed now, look at this. And they can give like a service and a hearty welcome and so on. Then normal hopelessness can be changed like this. But when it is these things which have left scars, some one must put some scar ointment on the wound. Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Dhritaraj, for your very inspiring participation. It is very nice to know. Thank you. So now we have to. So we have 7 minutes for. I want to do something very easy. Yeah. I want to end the session today with the 38th quality which will make you smile. Krishna is sukhi or happy. Krishna is happy. Rupa Goswami's definition means the enjoyer who is without even the least whiff of suffering is called happy. There is no trace of suffering. And Prabhupada says any person who is always joyful and untouched by any distress is called happy. Now, there is a very nice definition of Krishna by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami talks about Krishna's jewelry and about the festivals, which go on before the gate of Krishna's palace. And he also talks about the golden women which are surrounding Krishna. So he says, this all makes you happy, Krishna. O best of the Yadus, your collection of jewelry cannot be obtained by the god of wealth, even in his imagination. You have such good ornamentation. The song, dance, and music at your door is impossible for even Indra to attain in his dreams. There was always music, song, and dance before Krishna. So happy he was. By your side, there are always golden women with beautiful limbs, more beautiful than Parvati even. Who in this world is a better enjoyer than you? The enjoyer who is without least trace of suffering is happy. And Prabhupada says, as far as Krishna's enjoyment is concerned, it is stated that the ornaments which decorated the body of Krishna and his queens were beyond the dreams of Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. The constant dancing before the doors of Krishna's palaces was not to be imagined even by the demigods in the heavenly kingdom, Indra. Huh? The beautiful women residing within the palaces of Krishna were so much whiter than Gauri, Lord Shiva's wife, that they were compared to the moonshine, and they were constantly visible to Krishna. Therefore, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The conception of enjoyment is beautiful women, says Prabhupada, ornaments and riches. And all of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating even the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, or Lord Shiva. Let us move a little bit out of Dwaraka to Braj and find out how Krishna is happy here. This is the second example which Rupa Goswami gives. Once some of the gopas went to the place where the brahmanas were performing sacrifice and said, Hari knows no deprivation. Krishna doesn't know any fatigue, no burden of his own household duties. He has no fear, no agitation, and certainly no suffering of any kind. And do you know how he spends his time? He spends the whole night in the forest of Vrindavan, embraced by the sweet love of women's beautifully limbed bodies. Prabhupada comments, he is simply encircled by the dancers of Braj and is enjoying their company in the Rasa dance. We will find out how Krishna in Dwaraka remembers his Vrindavan pastimes, and he says, I was so happy there. I did not know how the days were passing. And someone might now object, but you had a lot of obstacles in fighting with demons. Krishna answers, no. This was, the demons was just a childhood delight. This was my delight for the childhood. And I felt so inspired to play my flute. You know, Krishna is, this is how happy Krishna is. Kavi Kanapur, the poet who in his childhood sucked the toe of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore he could speak such nice poetry. He says that once, when it was evening, Krishna was with his little friends in his bedroom, and he smiled. And as he smiled, the moon touched the pearls of his teeth, the pearl-like teeth, and a wonderful ray came from his teeth, which went through the room. Now there was one parrot of Krishna who saw this ray of light is a very suitable landing place for me. And he came flying and wanted to capture what he considered to be an ideal, you know, landing place. This is, for instance, very good for parents, parrots also. But whenever he landed on that moon ray beam, which came from Lord Krishna's tooth, he sank into, and he again had to come up. And then he said, and again he sank down. So at this, all the little friends of Lord Krishna begin to giggle and laugh. And Krishna, who was a little older, didn't want to laugh immediately because it was something which little boys find very heavy. But then Krishna just laughed because by nature he's extremely happy. We should pay our obeisances to this laughter of Lord Hari, who is a very happy person. I think this is very nice to meditate about the natural happiness of Krishna, who runs barefoot through Vrindavan, as we have heard yesterday, and is so happy he doesn't even want to dress in shoes. And it's all a natural manifestation of Lord Krishna. We have a happy God. This is very important. Devotees in ISKCON should learn to smile a little bit more.
don't take everything so serious. It's a, let us be a happy association, you know. We are with a happy, smiling Krishna, whose only business is to dance around in Vrindavan with his dearmost devotees. You know, it's a happy God. Yeah, we also dance very, yes, we dance sometimes before old age. So, now I think, Raj Bihari, you will be very happy with me, because usually I'm either too late, I'm always late, but we have, according to this wristwatch, 30 seconds before 15 minutes to 1, and we will end here in a happy way. Thank you all very much. May we request Buridhara Prabhu to make his happy statement. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.